Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Poll.
The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
Thursday. Almost there. Almost there. Now I got to sit down and talk with Derek. Sharp Edge, by the way, comes on right before the Blitz on Saturdays. I believe we have another Rays game this week. If that's the case, I'll let you know on tomorrow's podcast as to what we will do. But more than likely, it'll be like last week, and I will be on from 11:30 to 1, and Derek will be on from 10 to 11:30. So once again, if there's a Rays game, I'll get the details and let you know about that. Now, today's podcast, we're going to focus on the quarterback position. My breakdown of the quarterbacks have been up here at joebucksfan.com throughout the week. You've had a chance to read it, hopefully, if you have so done that. I do appreciate it. You know, the quarterback position in this year's draft is extremely weak. If you're looking for a quarterback this year, well, it isn't ideal. This isn't the ideal year to be trying to come up with an answer at the quarterback position, especially through the draft. It just hasn't. Matthew Stafford is really the number one quarterback on the board. But when you look at him and you compare him to maybe a Matt Ryan from last year, I don't know if he compares that well. I don't know if he compares to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan didn't even go first last year. So you have to question yourself. You have to question whether or not you'd be willing, especially at the top of the draft, to go after a guy like Matthew Stafford. Now, once again, if he falls, and anything can happen in the NFL draft, and the big thing is going to come really from the number one overall pick. You know, if the Lions don't go with Stafford, the Chiefs are not going to go with Stafford. I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I don't know if I'm willing to do this in a mock draft yet or not. With the Seahawks getting TJ Houshmandzadeh, and they just signed Colin Cole, the defensive tackle, I thought that was their two biggest needs. I think they also need help in the defensive backfield. Number four is too high. It's too high for Malcolm Jenkins. Because you don't know if he's got the speed to be dominant at that position in the NFL. So let me throw it out there, because without Matt Hasselbeck, the Seahawks fell apart last year. And he has dealt with injury problems. He's getting up there in age. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Stafford is on the board, or even a Mark Sanchez, if the Seahawks looked at a quarterback for their future. With a new coaching staff coming in, Jim Moore Jr. taking over as head coach, and Greg Knapp being their offensive coordinator, it wouldn't surprise me. Nobody's brought that up. Another team, Jacksonville, they could use a quarterback. They could upgrade over David Garrard. I don't know if we're going to see the 49ers draft another quarterback in the top 10. And after that, they could free fall. Then it comes down to the Jets, Bears, and of course Buccaneers, who all look like they could use a quarterback there. But as for Matt Stafford, number one on my list, I think number one first over Mark Sanchez, maybe because he's had more experience playing. I remember seeing Matthew Stafford step on the field for the first time for Georgia, and then talking about how he was a freshman and going on and on about his credentials coming out of high school. And he went out and played very well. He's got a strong arm. When I watch him, I do see a lot of Jay Cutler out there. The one thing I worry so much about with Matthew Stafford is the fact that when you go to YouTube, and a good place if you want to watch some film on these guys is to go to YouTube And even though sometimes you'll only find highlights of a specific player, sometimes you can find an entire game or every pass thrown by Stafford in one game, you could see positives and negatives. Even if you just find positives, you can still pinpoint some negatives. When I watch just a highlight film of Matthew Stafford, I get nervous because I see him staring down his receivers. I never see his head scan the entire field. He's only looking at Massaquoi, or he's only looking at Knowshon Moreno. You know, that's not going to cut it in the NFL. You might have a strong arm in college, but in the pros, you can't fit those balls in. And that kind of leads me right to Josh Freeman, another strong arm quarterback, an intriguing prospect. I mean, any guy that's 6'6", 250 pounds, with a rocket arm at the quarterback position is going to get looked at. And a good example of that is Joe Flacco from last year. And Joe Flacco kind of flew under the radar, and then a couple days before the draft, all of a sudden his stock skyrocketed and he went in the first round. You know, could Josh Freeman be like that? But you watch him on film, and he has a tough time reading a defense. And listen, because of his strong arm, he fit those passes that he threw into double and triple coverage. You got to find the open receiver. And I don't know if he can read the field, and he was very inconsistent at Kansas State. To me, he is a project. He might have a strong arm. He might have a big body, but he's going to be a project in the NFL. I don't know if you can set him in there and throw him to the wolves in the first year. And because of that, I mean, I wouldn't take him until at least halfway through the second round. If you're desperate, you want a quarterback that you can groom to be, maybe he's got the physical stature to be a franchise quarterback, maybe a high second, but I wouldn't invest a first-round pick in Josh Freeman. Not yet. Not till I get more information on him. As of right now, today, I'm just not taking Josh Freeman. Now, Mark Sanchez is a different story. You know, we talk about the guys with the strong arm and Stafford and Josh Freeman. Sanchez is a different kind of guy. He's got the strong enough arm, but to me, he's more accurate. And if Sanchez stays in college at USC for another year, there's a good chance Sanchez not only is a top five pick, but could have been the top overall pick. You know, Sam Bradford's coming out next year, Colt McCoy, Tim Tebow. It's going to be a good next year's going to be a good draft for quarterbacks. And that's why Sanchez decided maybe to come out this year. Better chance of him going early. Now, the problem is that you can't really pinpoint where Sanchez is going to fall. I told you, maybe surprise teams like the Seahawks or the Jaguars could grab him. But in my mock draft, I have him falling to the Jets. And I mean, the more I look at it, especially now with the Chiefs trading for Matt Castle, it would not surprise me one bit to see Sanchez fall. And then the question comes, you know, does he have a strong enough arm to play for the Jets? You know, the Jets just got rid of a leader, an accurate quarterback in Chad Pennington, because they wanted Brett Favre. Well, Sanchez doesn't have the strongest arm in this draft either. So are you going to go with Sanchez, or are you going to pass and go on another position? And if they do that, then it comes down to the Bears. Would the Bears go with a Sanchez? Or would they go with another position of need? And really, for them, when you look at it, wide receiver is the biggest need the Bears have. How do they feel about Kyle Orton? And if that's the case, then Sanchez falls to the Bucks. Then you have a very difficult decision. Then you have to decide whether or not you're ready to draft Mark Sanchez as the future of your team. And if you do that, do you let him and McCown battle it out? Do you let Luke McCown become the starter? And maybe halfway through the year, you see a little of Sanchez? So the Bucs would have a decision to make if Sanchez were to fall. I don't expect Stafford to fall. Now, with the second-round pick being gone, a guy who really is going to fly under the radar, didn't run a great 40, doesn't have great height, but really led Ball State to places they've never been before. And I'm talking about Nate Davis. Now, he did not have a good couple of games to end his career at Ball State. He had 8 fumbles in the last 2 games of his career there. 8 fumbles. But the guy put up some hellacious numbers. He was definitely the leader of Ball State, who really, when you think of college football, you don't think of Ball State too often. Nate Davis had a great career, put up incredible numbers there. I think he's going to be a very solid second or third round pick. That's why I have him go into the Carolina Panthers, who I don't know if they're sold on Matt Moore. I think Nate Davis could come in. He's got a strong arm. He can hit receivers down the field, and with the tools he'd have to work with in Carolina, working under Jake Delhomme, I think that would be a fine fit for them. Pat White could be a good quarterback in the National Football League, and I think where Pat White becomes so valuable is he can play quarterback. He can be the quarterback in a Wildcat. He could also return kicks and punts, and he can play a little receiver. He can play four or five different positions on your team. That's why I think Pat White more than likely either squeezes into the second round or becomes a very valuable pick in the third round. After that, Rhett Bomar, I compare him to Jake Delhomme. I don't know if he'll have the same career. He doesn't, Jake Delhomme didn't really have any character issues coming out, but Jake Delhomme had to take the long path to becoming a starter in the NFL. I think the same goes for Bomar. I think Bomar is a guy who could fly under the radar with the right coaching, with the right mentoring, with a slow process in developing him into an NFL quarterback. I think he could become a solid QB in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever be great, but he'll be solid, a Jake Delhomme type. And the last quarterback I broke down, Cullen Harper, fourth through sixth round, really disappointed in his senior season. Really had an excellent junior season, however. Now he's had some injuries to deal with, had a shoulder injury. But more than likely, you're looking at Cullen Harper and really the rest of the quarterbacks in this draft as possibly backups or third quarterbacks. Just not a deep draft at the quarterback position this year. We're going to break down the running backs coming up this weekend. I'll post that at joebucksfan.com. So we'd look at some of the top running backs in this year's draft. No Sean Moreno, Chris Beanie Wells, LeSean McCoy. A whole slew of running backs we'll be breaking down as we did the quarterbacks. We'll talk about them here on the podcast next week as well. Tomorrow we're going to talk about some of the key moves the Bucks have made in the past week. An example, Kellen Winslow trading for him and Derek Ward and how that might affect the Buccaneers draft. Obviously giving up a second round pick, that affects them big time because they won't have a pick in the second round unless they make another trade to acquire that second round pick back. All right, so once again, thanks for tuning in for another edition of the Rough Draft. We'll continue on tomorrow right here at joebucksfan.com. So until then, have an excellent day, an excellent night, and we'll talk to you Friday right here as we end the week at joebucksfan.com.
The Blitz, Saturdays at noon, only on 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal.